Good singing. You may be seated.
I just noticed in this service, Christ to the world we bring. And I thought, wow, Pastor, Christ to Washington, D.C., I seek to bring. And guess what? We need Christ in Washington, D.C., as well as in Georgetown, as well in Kansas City, and in and out, wherever we need Jesus Christ. And so what a great song that I don't think I'd ever sang before either, Zach. So I'm glad the tune was familiar, though. That made it a lot easier. I am here with my wife, Debbie, that many of you have met us before. Nana and Papa, lovingly called by Sarah and Zach and Madeline now. Oh, it's so nice to hear Madeline say Nana and Papa. And Lord willing, this week we're trusting that God might bring us another little one. And we're here in place of Matt and Tiffany. Wow. They're your missionaries in Hong Kong, and so sorry they couldn't be. I've got to be careful here. I'm so glad that we can be here. I know they would love to be here. And of course, aren't you glad for FaceTime? I'm sure there'll be a lot of FaceTiming going on as we trust this little one will come. And we'll have the opportunity to be here and help out with Madeline as they have this new one that they have to take care of as well. So you pray that that all go up. We're also glad to be here because I always enjoy being with your pastor and his wife and fellowshipping. This is not new to me, Pastor, having double services.
Amen.
In Kansas City, we had double services as we got ready to develop a piece of property just like you're doing. And so we've been through this before and watched God to work in a miraculous way. I jokingly told the people, we're having double service, so she'll give more so we can have an auditorium to have one service. Because maybe, but can I tell you something? You're different than the Kansas City crowd. We had more people at the early service than we did at the second service. Now, that's probably because they were all Kansas City Chiefs fans. You're Kansas City Chiefs fans, aren't you? No? Oh, dear. Well, but, you know, one of the things, I have friends all over the country with my involvement in the American Association of Christian Schools, and my Denver friends would say that they were always frustrated because when the Broncos played, their games were at 11 o'clock because they're on Mountain Time. So they'd have to always worry about their attendance on terrible that they did. We'd never have to do that at noon. You know, in Kansas City time, I'd preach a little longer just to see who was really spiritual or not, make sure nobody would leave. But we would have more people, I think, come to the early service. I don't know if it was I think it was so they could get the restaurants before everybody else got there. I don't know. But what an exciting time for you to be in this stage where God continues to bless, God continues to grow your numbers. And I'm praying with you that the Lord will soon get you on that new piece of property. And get it. We've been through all that, and we know it takes time. And by the way, it takes money. We had $1 million underground before we ever came above ground. Are you getting into that kind of thing too? Yep. Bring all the utilities there and all the other things. We had a groundbreaking for our sewer, Pastor. I just want you to know. When you're going to put that much money underground, I said, folks, we need to just rejoice that we got this far. And little by little, the Lord allowed us to be on that property. So we're praying along with you. But I do have one ought against your pastor. I thought after the first service you would learn your lesson. But he didn't. Maybe he was just letting me tell you that he forgot to mention that I'm also a recording artist.
I did forget.
You did forget on purpose because you've listened to the CD probably. You know that it's not so... my sons, you know, they're all musical, and they've done a lot of CDs, our whole family, and we have them back there, by the way, if you want to take a look at them. Any of you still have CD players? You know what I'm talking about? By the way, you can go to herbsterevangelism.org, and they've got them. You can download them. All these things that these youngins do nowadays, you know, Spotify, all these things, you can get the songs by themselves and all that, but we still have some CDs that you're welcome to come by and see. But I sing on this one, and my picture's even on the back of it. But on the front, they still call it the Herbster Trio. Some of you are musicians. You know what I... Because when you have four people singing, what's it supposed to be? Thank you. Would you talk to my sons? I guess they never invited me to sing again, so I think that's probably why they just stuck with it. Maybe the Herbster Trio would sell if they said Dad was on it. Might have hurt them. But some of you I know have this CD on resting, which is... you know, Sarah's birth mom, when she passed away at 39, we did a CD to be encouragement to her as a memory of her, but also be encouragement to others that lose loved ones. The neat thing about this CD, there's two in here. Julie's testimony 2 weeks before she passed away is on one of the CDs in here, and the message that was preached at her funeral from the 23rd Psalm. And of course, now Matt has married Tiffany, who is a mom now, and we're so thankful for her ministry with her husband, and we love her so much. You probably don't know that Sarah sang as a child. Sarah is, and you'll see her picture as a child on the back of this children's CD. She was one of our grandchildren that sang, "Come Children, Join to Sing." This is a wonderful gift for children or grandchildren. Christmas is coming, and it's a CD that you can actually, the kids learn to sing along with, memorize scripture together and all that. And by the way, Sarah sings on some others as adults back there. She sings on Resting and many of the others back there that the family has done. But you want to see Sarah as a little girl. There she is. You know that Matthew, Mark, and Mike, our three sons, just about Mike was here just a week or so ago, but they had mentors, and you know we all are involved in discipling and helping others. Their mentors were Mac Lynch, who was the music director at the Wilds, Ron Hamilton, who's recently gone to be with the Lord, more lovingly called Patch the Pirate, and Tim Fisher, who serves as a music pastor at Faith Baptist Church, which is the church that sponsors Advance USA, sends me out, and they're in Taylor's, South Carolina. And so we're based in Taylor's, and Tim Fisher is our music pastor there. They put together a CD with those three guys, expressions of gratitude, a lot of medleys of their songs as well as our sons. But hey, this one's still one of my favorites, Be Strong in the Lord. Do any of you have this CD, Be Strong in the Lord? It has on it, Mom and Dad, We Love You. Our oldest son, Matt, wrote a song to his mom and dad, and the three of them sang. And now that it's in sheet music, I hear it when I'm preaching at graduation sometimes. They'll sing it to all the parents of the seniors. Mom and Dad, We Love You. There's many others that are back there, and so you're welcome to come by. We'll be there after the service. We'll have them there tonight as well, that you can take a look at all of those. But I'm really here to preach. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Because we have a responsibility to government. Did you know that? Did you know that the Bible has a lot to say about government? Did you know that God ordained government? And we have to respond properly to government if we're going to be biblical Christians? How many of you participated in an election just a week and a half ago or so? How many of you participate? How many of you prayed for the election? May I see? How many of you are going to keep praying? I always emphasize to people, pray, vote, and pray. Pray, vote, and pray. Because no matter who is elected, we need God's mercy. We need God's grace. And sometimes people will vote and say, oh, my guy won, or my gal won, and oh boy, we're wonderful, everything's great, and they forget to pray. No, without God, we can do nothing. We need the Lord in the midst of our government. We need the Lord in the midst of our churches. We need the Lord in the midst of our lives. And so it's very important for us to stay engaged, stay involved. And I tell people there's three things. I could preach on every one of these. I'm going to stick with the third one. But I tell people that we need to pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 5. You can reference it and read it for yourself. It says we need to pray for those that are authority over us. Men ought always to praise, Luke 18, verse 1 says. If my people, you're familiar with 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people, which are called by name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way. We could go on and on and on, message after message after message. But we're also supposed to proclaim. That's number two. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. That's why we're to be witnesses, the last commandment. That's why we're to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what the Great Commission is all about, seeing people saved and discipled for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I tell you something? I'm glad I can tell you about congressmen, staff members who have come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and have been changed. I had the privilege of leading one congressman to the Lord myself. He's in heaven now. But I could tell you stories about some people. You'd recognize the names. I won't, just because I'm protecting them. That wow, what a change took place. How many of you have heard of Speaker Mike Johnson? Did Mike talk to you about Speaker Mike Johnson when he was here? Did he tell you that Mike Johnson is his representative? As a matter of fact, Mike and my grandson Malachi are going to a couple meetings this week that have been called because of what's happened in the elections and some strategizing sessions. And guess what? I'm here for a higher priority, family. And just to be here, I'm thrilled to be here. But Mike and Malachi are going, and they'll represent us well because Mike Johnson is their representative. Southwind Christian Camp is in Mike Johnson's district. I knew Mike Johnson. Mike knew Mike Johnson before he was ever a congressman. And then I can remember when he all of a sudden became Speaker of the House. I go, what? They said because he had the fewest enemies. If you understand that, what took place and heard any of that. But he is a sweet Christian man. I call him Ephesians 4:15 man because he speaks the truth in love. But do you remember what Mike Johnson said when he became Speaker and went before Congress? Don't he said, I don't know if any of you saw this, but he said, you know, if you want to know what I believe, you know what my philosophy is, you just need to take a Bible off the shelf and read it, and you'll know where I stand. Amen. That's our Speaker of the House. I'm telling you, folks, God's on the march. And praise the Lord. Now they've elected Senator Thune to be the leader of the Senate. I just talked to him the last time I was in Washington, D.C., as I knew he was running for the majority. He's my brother in Christ as well. And yours, by the way, too. Unbelievable, the opportunities that lie ahead at this present time because of people that proclaimed the gospel and lives were changed. And I can name you a lot of other people that are brothers and sisters in Christ in Washington, D.C. But we need to proclaim, not just to the members of Congress, but to our neighbors, to our work associates. Guess what? When people get saved, they vote different.
Amen.
Things change. How many of you have been born again? May I see your hands? Things have changed, right? And if they haven't changed, you better check out your salvation. Because what does the Bible say? The Bible said, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. But anybody that's been changed, and if you do wrong and you're not chastened, then you better be concerned. Because you're illegitimate, the Bible says. Don't get me started. You're all looking at me like this. Just know Christ as your Savior. And if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today and be saved. That's the most important. And we need to keep proclaiming. And by the way, that's the testimony of this church. And I hope that's your testimony as well, that you're telling people about Jesus Christ, because that changes people from the inside out and gives them hope for all eternity. But here's the third thing. Not just praying, not just proclaiming, but we need to participate. We need to participate. And that's what this passage is all about. Being salt and light. Participating in the process that God has given us. Aren't you thankful you're in the United States of America?
Amen.
We have the freedom to participate. But are we taking our responsibility seriously? Let's look at this passage together from the lips of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, starting in verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth, what's the next three words? Now that doesn't sound real kind, does it? Have you ever had anybody come to you at work and say, you're just good for nothing? I hope you've never had somebody at home say, yeah, you're just good for nothing. By the way, parents, never say that to your children, okay? But that's no very kind words, is it? This is from the lips of our Savior. But he says, if we as Christians lose our effectiveness, we're good for nothing. I don't know about you. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Not good for nothing servant. And so he says, if henceforth you're good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. And you know, I see Christians being trodden under the foot of men in our society today because we won't stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ the way we should. He goes on, he says, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Have any of you been to the Holy Lands? Have any of you had that privilege of going on that trip? Yeah, so did you see at the Sea of Galilee at night so that you could see the city up on the hill to the north. And as I would look there, where Jesus was possibly speaking on those hillsides, and then at night, you see that up to the left up there, there's a city that's lit up on the. All the people in that area would have known about it and seen it. He says, it's up there. It's not hid, and we shouldn't be hid. We should be active for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, participating in the process that God has given us. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Even the children know that. But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Would you read verse 16 with me? Because here's what he challenges us to do. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need to let our little lights shine. Now let's talk about this a little bit. What's it mean to be salt? How many of you are familiar with salt? Do you know what salt does? Do you know the illustration that God is using here for the lips of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Salt, it preserves. Have any of you ever seen a packed ham in salt? I know you've seen it at Cracker Barrel after it's cut, you know, and you enjoy it, and some of you may be going there today. I don't know. Maybe after the message you'll feel like going there. I don't, because, good southern ham, you know, and but it's used to preserve. Can I tell you something? We as Christians need to preserve our society. We're the ones that have some sense, or as we've heard recently, common sense. Even better, we have biblical sense. You know, how many of you here know your gender? Okay, I'm going to check you out because, you know, I don't want anybody to be confused, okay? How many of you here are men? May I see your hands? Okay, looking around. Everybody checking to make sure that they're right? Okay, okay. How many of you are women? Do you realize people in D.C. don't even know what women are? They can't define a woman? One of the things we've been fighting over the last several years is SOGI language. Have you heard of SOGI language? I mean, every bill that was being introduced, they put on SOGI language. A writer, SOGI writer, sexual orientation and gender identity. Now, praise the Lord, we got them all knocked out of legislations. And nothing ever, boy, I'll tell you, but it was a fight all the time. You know, and we had to, you know, preserve what really gender identity should be, male and female, Genesis 1. Have you read it? So you know, okay, what God says. He created male and female. By the way, how many of you are married here today? Do you know who you're married to? Are you married to somebody that's different gender? Now, I'm not just talking about any different gender. There's only two genders, so a man should leave his and cleave unto his. Are you all confused? Do you see how we have some preserving work to do in our society? I could go on and on and on. But can I tell you something else? Salt disinfects. If any of you had a mother like my mother, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And she taught me, well, I'm still doing it. What? I'm gargling with, right? Get the salt, put it in the water. Get it nice and warm, dissolved, and I won't do it in front of you, but you know what I'm talking about. I've done it, you know, my whole life. Why do you need all that expensive mouthwash and all that sort of stuff? You know, you just gargle a little salt water, and it disinfects. And you know something? We have a lot of disinfecting work to do in our society. Can I tell you something? Abortion is still wrong, and it needs to be eliminated. And don't give up the fight, even though your state didn't do such a good job. It's not over. Guess what? We can still encourage ladies not to have an abortion. You know, I praise the Lord for so many people who are working in women clinics and helping people choose to give life. I mean, after all, God is the giver and taker of life, not man. And we're in even our Constitution. We're supposed to have the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. It's life is the beginning of it all. And life is still important no matter what man says. And we need to continue to do the fight to eliminate, you know, get rid of, disinfect our society from some of these. Can you believe that now they're pushing marijuana? I mean, legalizing marijuana. I'm not just talking about medical marijuana. I'm talking about recreational marijuana. Wasn't alcohol bad enough? How many lives have been destroyed by alcohol? And then we think we're going to, let's try it again with marijuana. When are we going to learn our lessons? You see, we have to disinfect our society from... Everybody says, well, you can't legislate morality. Well, somebody's going to. And I'd much rather it be us from a biblical point of view than them from a liberal point of view. You see, salt disinfects. Can I just tell you what I think? You may not agree with this, especially if you're on have high blood pressure, but I think salt improves. Do you, I've found out after the first service that you know, there's some good meat eaters here in the church. Now, if you're not a meat eater, please give it to me. Okay, I'll take care of it for you. I'll buy a freezer. I'll do whatever I have to do, because but I think a Kansas City strip steak is better with a little salt than without salt. You wouldn't eat a New York strip steak, would you, instead of a Kansas City strip? You know New York is liberal and Kansas City is conservative, right? Just kidding, okay? Just making sure you're... But I think a little bit of salt improves. And you know what we should do as Christians? We should improve our community. We should improve our society. By the way, you should improve this church as Christians. And I am so thankful for Christians who are appreciative of their policemen, appreciative of those that serve in the armed services, those that are in the fire department, and even those that are in government. You know what the Bible says in Romans chapter 13? They're ministers of God for good. Now, I know they don't always do good, but sometimes God even has to use them to judge us. Study the Old Testament. Study the judges. I'm so glad that he didn't judge us this time. He gave us mercy. And but I'm telling you, we have a responsibility now to be salt and to be light. He says, ye are the light of the world. Guess what light does? It eliminates the darkness. And boy, there's a lot of darkness in our society today, wouldn't you say? I'd say there's a lot of darkness in our government today, wouldn't you say? Boy, go to Washington, D.C. with me. There's a lot of darkness. There's even some depression right now in Washington, D.C. But I'm just telling you, that swamp, you hear them talking about the swamp. We call it sometimes the Beltway mentality of Washington, D.C. Praise the Lord, it's not the mentality of Georgetown, Kentucky. And I'm so thankful. But I'm just telling you, we as light should be lighting the way. How many of you have cars that have headlights? Hey, with the time change, you better have them. Things are getting dark early, aren't they? What are the headlights? What are the headlights for? The headlights are there to direct you the way. Show the way that you're supposed to go. Who is better to show the way that we're supposed to go than Christians? The Bible is the truth. Sanctify them with the truth. Thy word is truth. And we need Christians showing the way with the truth. You saw already, we in Advance USA, we talk about pro-life, pro-family, pro-justice, pro-morality, and pro-religious freedom. I could preach a message on every one of them and show you why it's a biblical issue. These people, I won't get involved in politics, get involved in government. I'm a biblicist. Well, then if you're a biblicist, you will get involved because these are biblical issues that we're told to light the way. We're told to direct. I mean, it's interesting to me, even liberals are curious about what we Christians think. Why are you so weird on this issue? But when you get it back to what the Bible says, it's amazing. I don't know if you've ever seen some people in the liberal persuasion, even in the media and everything else, when they're talking to a politician or they're talking to a preacher, and they'll say something like this to try to trip them up. And sad to say, it trips some of them up. They said, are you telling me that if I don't believe in your Jesus, that I'm going to hell? Are you telling me that? Are you telling me that I'm going to hell? Now, I've seen so many people, it disappoints me that all of a sudden, you know, get kind of confused. By the way, I don't do interviews. John Ashcroft was my mentor, my governor, my senator, and then our attorney general. And he's told me, keep your head down. Don't ever do interviews. Two problems. When they know who you are, they come after you. Number two, if the members know that you're talking to the media, they won't talk to you. So I, you know, he's given me wise counsel still as one of my counselors as I seek to navigate the swamp in Washington, D.C. But sometimes I'd like to because I like to answer the question for him. I'm yelling at the TV sometime. No, it's not what you're saying. It's what God's saying. All you have to say, listen, I'm just telling you what God says in His Word. He that hath the Son hath life. But he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. That's what, but guess what? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have. And by the way, if you're here this morning and you don't know you have everlasting life, don't leave this building until you talk to one of us and know that you have eternal life. I wasn't 18 till I was saved. I didn't know that you could know until I looked to the Bible and read the Bible and found out. And by the Bible says that these things have I written to you to believe on the name of the Son of God that ye may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to hope so. You can know so. The Bible makes it plain. And so make sure that you know. But it's sad that so many people don't know, and we should be directing them. We should be guiding them. We should be showing them the truth of the Word of God. And we're the ones that have that. And by the way, you should be doing in your neighborhood. You should be doing it at your workplace. I should be doing it there as well as in Washington, D.C. And I'm glad that you support our son and his wife that do it in Hong Kong and other missionaries around the world. We're supposed to direct. The light should direct. Can I tell you something else light does? It exposes. It exposes. I know the last Congress was not real effective in passing anything. But you know what the last Congress did do? Expose a lot of things. Because there was a lot of bills that were passed in the House of Representatives that never passed the Senate. Are you all familiar with what I'm talking about? How many of you took government? Not many of you. Okay, maybe I should do a lesson. Because for something to become law, it has to not just pass the House, it has to pass the Senate, it has to be signed by the President. And so many times you would hear that the House passed something, you were all excited, like the Born Alive Protection Act. Do you know what the Born Alive Protection Act is? The Born Alive Protection Act says that if you're trying to abort a baby and it happens to live, you're supposed to keep it alive. And it passed because of the Republicans, but only one Democrat voted for it. They can say what they want to say when it comes to an election, but I'm just telling you how they voted. It exposes them. They say they want to secure the border, then why didn't they vote for H.R. 2? That would have secured the border. Instead of talking about something comprehensive that never passed the Senate, but didn't pass the House. Hallelujah. Now maybe we can really fix it. I could go on and on and on. But what's it do? It puts people on record how they voted, not what their campaign ads say. So you expose them. And I don't know how much that had to do with the impact of the election, but I'm very thankful that we were able to see what God has done with some of the people that I know personally. Pray for me, because I was telling the first, I'm in a dilemma right now because what happened in Indiana was just overwhelming, and I need to know how to use my time, you know, prioritize. Because I do Washington, D.C., I fly it out like a lot of congressmen do and live in Indiana, and guess what? The new governor of Indiana was our former senator, who I know very well. He's now the governor. Lieutenant governor is a born-again Christian, first time running for office. And our senator, new senator, is my brother in Christ, a new representative brother in Christ. I mean, I decided I was home. My wife had a hip replacement, And so I said, I need to stay home and take care of her family first. So I said, well, I need to do maybe meet my own local rep. I mean, that's why I encourage other people to. Maybe it'd be good for me to do it if I encourage other people to do it, you know. And so I called up and went to the Capitol to go to his office, and all of a sudden I'm going all the way to the top floor. And all of a sudden I come to this suite of offices that I had to hit one of these buttons, you know, to say it's totally different than all the other members. And I go in and find out he's the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. Does anybody know what the Ways and Means Committee does? Whether it's in your state house or whether it's in Washington, D.C.? Yes, ma'am, they control the budget. They control the budget. And he that controls the purse controls the policy. My representative in Hazelwood, Indiana, and guess what? He's my brother in Christ. He home educated 6 children. How many of you home educate here? Any of you, I know Pastor. Yeah. Do you know that people need to understand home education? Sarah was home educated. I think all of our grandchildren were home educated. Even though I was a head of the Christian School Association, I encouraged any kind of education that the parents want. Parental choice in education. By the way, pray about that nationally. And this is why I was talking to him. He set me up an appointment with the Speaker of the House and the Chairman of the Education Committee. I'm going to see all of them before the end of the year. And there's an organization called ALEC. Have any of you ever heard of ALEC? It's the American Legislative Exchange Council. It's where state representatives, like your representatives, Indiana's representatives, all the state representatives will go to this conference, and they'll swap shop ideas. Have you ever been to an educational conference where they swap shop? And they'll pass bills around to say, hey, this worked in our state, why don't you try it in that state? That's the beauty of our country, is that states become laboratories to try things. Well, Indiana has had parental choice in education for a long time. But it needs to be fine-tuned, especially for home educators. And this, the Ways and Means, has home educated 6 children. He's in charge of the budget that would decide whether we, and I showed him how we could save money in another area that would, and who knows what God is going to do, but I'm saying, oh boy, there's things to do in Indiana as well. And by the way, there's things to do in Kentucky too. Even though some of your votes didn't go the way you would like them to go, don't stop trying. Amen. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, folks, we have the opportunities because light also highlights. Light highlights, points out good things that are happening. By the way, wasn't that a beautiful number that Drew did this morning? We need to highlight young people like that. We tried to do that in the American Association of Christian Schools and started a summer program where we took young people to Washington, D.C. and took them into offices and had them work on Capitol Hill and let them see Christian young people. We need to highlight. I always encourage whether people are Christian educated or home educated, I encourage them to use Stanford tests when they're raising their children, because you can highlight their scores whenever they want to challenge you. I never had a problem with them wanting to control our schools when I would just show them our tests. How we scored so much higher than the average student in the country and much higher than their secular schools. And they say, oh, I guess you're doing a good job. Yeah, and I said, we'll be happy to help you anytime you want. Hey, do you know what's happening right now? With the new administration, they're talking about getting rid of the Department of Education and taking it back to the states. Well, states need to be ready. Their parental choice has been highlighted. Testing has been done. And it shows that it helps all students. And those scores have to be highlighted. Those studies have to be highlighted. That's where I'm saying, my doctorate's in education. I've been involved this a long time. And Indiana has a pretty good program. If we could tweak it a little bit, we could go to ALEC and we could send that bill everywhere. And who knows what God might do? We need to let people see what's going on for the glory of God. We need to be salt. We need to be light. But can I conclude with verse 16? Because I want you to see verse 16. We have to do it with a good testimony. Would you read it with me again? Or many of you have memorized it. You can just say it. But let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There's a right and wrong way to do things. I think there's people that have rejected our message because of our manner. The way we go about speaking the truth. You remember Mike Johnson speaking the truth in love? Colossians 4:6 says that our speech should always be with grace, seasoned with salt. We don't have to go in and say, you're a liberal, you're scum, you're an agent of the devil. You're going to burn in hell. Do you understand it? You deserve to burn in hell. And then we wonder why they reject our message. You see, the manner is important too. Speak the truth in love that they may grow up in Him all things. Check it out for yourself. Ephesians 4:15. And it's why I'm very careful about who I allow to represent the Lord Jesus Christ or represent Advance USA in Washington, D.C. That's why I'm very thankful that you all are considering getting involved. It'll be maybe doing something about that tonight, I think, right? You're going to be considering taking on Advance USA and getting involved. I know your pastor would be a good ambassador. I know Zach. I happened to interview him at the very first meeting that we had with... Right, Zach? I know he... For a person to represent Advance USA or... I represent the Lord in Washington, D.C. I want to talk to them because I have been there long enough. I've seen these Christian organizations that haven't represented the Lord Jesus Christ well. When I first became president of the American Association of Christian Schools, we established an office on Capitol Hill. We got very much involved. And it was so disappointing to me to see people who named the name of Jesus Christ, had Christian in their organizational name, that didn't represent Christ well, that go to activities and get drunk, that they'd be at places, grabbing hold of the opposite sex and doing all, and going to places they shouldn't be going, in my estimation. I want to have a good testimony, don't you? I think we ought to represent Jesus Christ properly. I think we ought to be holy even as He is holy. We have a responsibility to represent Christ well. By the way, so do you. In your neighborhood. In your workplace. In our families. Let your light so shine that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I've taught for years a little saying that many of you may already know because some of you have heard me before, but it's your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Think you can say that? Well, you're not getting out of here till you do, so you better try, okay? Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And if you have trouble, you can just count on Patch. He put it to music. Hypocriter, hypocriter, you say one thing and do the opposite. Your walk talks and your talk, go ahead, check him out. He getting on. I'm just saying, folks, God says that a good name is to be chosen rather than riches. And we need to be concerned about our testimony here in this church, here in this community, but also in Washington, D.C. And I want ambassadors who have a good testimony. It's amazing because I'm in Washington, D.C., and I'm there eating and doing different things, and I'll have waitresses. So, are you a senator? Because I'll go dressed up, like I'm going in to meet the senator or the congressman or whoever, and they'll say, are you a senator? Do I look like a senator? I don't know. Maybe I've never wanted to run for political office. But I say, no, I'm ambassador. Who are you ambassador for? I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Of course, always gives me an opportunity to witness. That's what we need in our society today. We need ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Amen. Read it for yourself in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Ambassadors for Jesus Christ, making a stand for righteousness, because righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people, even thus in the United States of America. My folks, my friends, dear folks, are you salt? Are you light? Are you being a good testimony for the one who gave his all for us, the Lord Jesus Christ? Father, I thank you for the joy of being here with these Denny friends, and I'm grateful for this church and the faithful stand. I'm thankful, Lord, that you have put us in the United States of America, and we have the privilege of representing you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, amongst mankind. Help us to do it well. Help us, Lord, to be salt. Help us to be light. Help us to be a good testimony for you. And Lord, if there's anyone here that knows not Jesus Christ as Savior, please, Lord, help them to see that Jesus saves. Help them even today to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Would you quietly stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, nobody looking around? Would you evaluate your own life? I'm going to let Pastor come and close the